After I'd waved the social worker's car off down the driveway, I closed the front door and breathed a sigh of relief. "Phew, I'm glad they've gone," said my 10-year-old daughter Tess, echoing my thoughts exactly. "They were really strange." We just said goodbye to two teenage girls aged 14 and 15 called Hannah and Haley. They looked a bit like twins as they were so close in age. Both chubby, with bright red hair and thick glasses, they would stare at you with deadpan faces. It had been an emergency 21-day placement, as their previous foster carers couldn't cope with their bizarre behaviour, and I'd agreed to take them in while social services looked for another long-term placement for them. As a foster carer for the past 20 years, I was used to dealing with stroppies, as I fondly nicknamed difficult teens. In fact, I secretly relished the challenge. But even I had to admit it had been a tricky few weeks. Their behaviour had been odd, to say the least. They didn't say much to me, but they would walk around the house talking to people who weren't there. There was a Miffy mobile hanging up in their bedroom that I'd forgotten to take down after a baby I'd looked after had left, and the girls had told us that the mobile had been saying things to them. Social workers couldn't agree whether the girls had significant mental health problems or they were just making it all up to freak people out. Sadly, I thought a lot of it had been put on to get attention. I think they hoped that if they behaved in such a strange way, no one would want to look after them and they'd be allowed to go back and live with their birth mother. Whatever the reason, I knew 3 weeks wasn't enough time to even begin to tackle their issues. It hadn't been easy having them in the house, especially after school and at weekends when all my other children were at home. The girls had left by 10 a.m, but there was no time to sit down and put my feet up. As a busy foster carer, I knew from experience that as soon as one placement left, sometimes it was only a matter of hours before there was another child, or children, waiting to take their place. So I got to work stripping the two single beds in the room where Hannah and Haley had been and gave it a good clean. I'd helped them pack that morning and tidied up as I'd gone along, so thankfully it wasn't in too much of a state. I was lucky, as for the past 5 years I'd lived in a roomy, detached Victorian house that I called the TARDIS. It didn't look that big from the outside, but it had 6 bedrooms and was spread out over 3 floors. Cleaning it was a nightmare and it was permanently freezing cold, but all that space meant I had 2 spare bedrooms, especially for foster children. In my 40s, I was a single mum to my 6-year-old biological son, Pete. Then there was 10-year-old Tess and her 9-year-old sister, Sam. I'd been fostering for 14 years when they'd come to live with me when they were 3 and 4, and they had never left. I'd been granted permanency, which meant that it had been agreed at a social services panel that they would remain with me forever. I was hoping to adopt them, but none of us felt like there was any rush, as I already looked upon them as my own children. They'd come to live with us when Pete was 1 year old, and he couldn't remember a time without them. As far as he was concerned, they were his sisters. I'd seen their photos in a well-known fostering magazine that I subscribed to, and had been intrigued by Sam's disabilities, as well as falling in love with Tess's beautiful blonde curly hair, so I'd found out more about them. They'd come from a family of 4 children. 2 of the children had died from cot death at just a few weeks old, and Sam had been left with brain injuries after her birth parents had tried to smother her when she was 1 month old, something they'd tried to blame on Tess, who was only 13 months old at the time. Sam had been left with cerebral palsy, global, and development delay, which meant she would always have the mental age of a toddler, and she was autistic and half-blind. After that, there had been questions about whether their siblings had actually died of cot death, but nothing could be proven. Her disabilities didn't faze me, and something inside me just told me I wanted to give these 2 children a home after everything they'd been through. Before they came to me, they'd been moved 15 times. They'd even been adopted, but the couple had changed their mind after a few weeks and they'd been sent back. These poor kids had faced so much upheaval, trauma and rejection in their lives, but I knew 100% I wanted to foster them, and amazingly, I had space, as 2 children were about to leave me and go back to live with their birth parents. It was one of those things I like to think was meant to be, and now I couldn't imagine our family without them in it. Even though she was only 10, Tess was a great help with other foster children, and all three of my kids were very adaptable. I suppose it was all they'd ever known. They were used to going to school and coming home and finding two new children had come to live with us, and luckily they'd never resented that or got jealous.